Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and I hope everyone's having a great week so far. It is Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on in New York, and I hope, again, it's a great day, great week, and a great evening for everybody. Very excited to have on the show tonight Dr. Shanaz Rustamova. Shanaz, are you there? Hello, Shanaz. And we're just going to wait to see if we can get her on the line here. Shanaz, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hey, Shanaz, can you hear me?
Hi, yes, hi.
All right, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Doing great.
All right, well, welcome to the show. As I was just mentioning, this is part one of a series with us now over at CMC Radio, and we're very excited to have you on. As you know, Shanaz, you have a fascinating story, obviously. You know, a great level of success when it comes to professional and the things that you've come, you know, overcome and done in your life so far. You know, why don't you share with us just a little bit about your background briefly, just to catch everyone up to speed here.
Sure, sure. Obviously, my name is Shanaz Rustamova. I am a doctor, GYN physician. I'm practicing physician in New York City, Midtown. My office, the name of the office is Central Park Medical Practice. We're located on 57 and 7th. We have two locations on 57 and 58th Street in New York. And we mostly practicing women's health as well as some cosmetic services too.
Sure.
Yeah.
We were talking, pre-show about some of your background. I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, you literally came here with $50 in your pocket.
Yes, correct. I came here with $50 in the pocket, and I am typical American dream come true story. And I'm the living proof that it is true. It's not a myth. It does exist. American dream does exist. And I came here with no family, no friends, just me and my husband. And we started career here. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Now I am practicing. I have my the job of my dream. I do what I love. So, yeah, here I am.
Crazy. I mean, and again, did you ever think that when you were, and you grew up in Uzbekistan, right?
In a Soviet Uzbekistan, yeah, Soviet Union.
Sure.
Correct.
I mean, and again, for where you were, I mean, did you ever think that where you are today, you would achieve the level of success that you have?
Well, back then, probably no, if you would tell me 20 years ago that I will be sitting here in Midtown, Manhattan, and talking on the radio, I would probably wouldn't believe you. But, yeah, I guess back somewhere deep in my subconscious, I had that dream.
Sure.
Probably.
The drive.
Otherwise,
it
wouldn't come true.
It's about the drive, definitely, yeah.
It's about the drive, yes. But then, back then, of course, it was kind of unbelievable. Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. And so along your journey, I mean, I know we have bigger things to talk about, certainly. I just want to know,
sure,
as far as, you know, who or what was a major influencer of your life and your dreams and aspirations, what would you attribute to that? I mean, who would you say is sort of the major influence over your life?
The major influence, I would say, I was raised a certain way, so my family, that was the major, my grandmother especially.
Sure.
And just the story and the history of my people, the culture of Uzbekistan really really drove me. You know, It's a very diverse and very interesting culture. For those who don't know Uzbekistan, I would really suggest you to either visit or read about it. It has a very interesting story. It was in the middle of the Silk Road, and every caravan that was passing was basically literally dropping seeds. So if you look at the Uzbek person, you could see, you know, genes of Asians and black people and Europeans. We are very, very diverse. Our genes are very interlinked, as well as the culture itself and the kitchen. It's interesting. So living in that culture, living in that environment, I kind of, you know, accepted that everything is just one. All is one.
Right.
And wherever I go in the world, whatever I see, I always see something that is actually we had in our culture and we practiced. It's amazing. It's amazing.
So you've really taken everything that you've kind of lived through and obviously experienced firsthand,
yes,
you know, into the way that you view the world and what you need to be out there doing.
Yes, yes. And especially when it happened in the end of Soviet era, when the Soviet Union
mm-hmm.
collapsed in the beginning of the 90s, I was the witness of all that collapse. It not only witness, I lived that, and I experienced that on firsthand. So I knew what that crisis means, you know, all the
sure.
refugee crisis. I knew that. I experienced that in firsthand. Human trafficking, I experienced that. I've seen that. I've seen a lot of those things happening in front of my eyes, right before
mm-hmm.
my very eyes, and with me and with my loved ones.
Sure.
And I know what hunger means. I know what, you know, when you don't have food for a couple of days in your stomach and you don't
right.
know when you're going to eat means, I know, yes.
Which I think a lot of people obviously, you know, a lot of people take it for granted, we can say. You know, it's very easy for us to say, you know, we feel,
yeah.
you know, sympathy for those, but it's very difficult for many of us to sympathize officially because not many of us, you know, in America, obviously, it's a little different, and, you know, there's definitely
yeah.
people that do suffer from those, but
mm-hmm.
it's not the same degree. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I think we are so blessed here. We are
mm-hmm.
so blessed. And which, you know what, I'm not complaining. I love this country. This is
mm-hmm.
my land. After all that happened in Soviet Union, and I had to literally, you know, run.
Sure.
I am a political refugee here, you know, that political turmoil that happened over there, and then coming to this country and fulfilling my dreams and being accepted, and it's just beautiful what happened to me. I love my life in the United States, and this is my land. This is my
mm-hmm.
country, and I say it from the bottom of my soul, from my heart. Yes.
Sure.
And we are blessed. We are blessed here, and thank God.
And so you've achieved, you know, you've come from, you know, very tough background, obviously. You
yes.
come to America and live the American dream. You know,
yes.
you have your own successful practice in a number of locations, you know, in the hub, really, of, you know, of the world. I mean, New York is the place where a lot of people come to try to succeed, and you've done it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have
yeah.
absolutely lived that. So you have
yeah.
Central Park Medical Practice, and you're doing all these great things with it. You know, and you've won awards, and, you know, again, you've earned the accolades from your peers in the profession and in personal life, I'm sure. So
yeah.
at this point, I mean, what is it that drives you now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now that you've done what you need to do, you know, what else are you living for? What,
yeah.
what puts you,
yeah.
what's your focus right now?
Right. Well, what really truly drives me is the desire to feel good like everybody else
mm-hmm.
and then share
mm-hmm.
this desire, share that feeling with others. And this is what I try to do in my practice, to share and teach my patients and my workers how to feel good. Desire of self-empowerment, which
mm-hmm.
I truly feel now, and then share that empowerment with others and teach everybody, you know, youngsters and elderly, everyone needs
mm-hmm.
that. What drives me is the realization of the idea of prosperity, you know, recognizing
right.
that prosperity is actually our birthright. truly drives me that deep inside of me, I have that deep love for planet Earth. So I love planet Earth, and it's so beautiful. It's so resilient. It's so loving. You know, what do we do to her? Look at her. And she still nurtures us, and she loves us. So I think we should learn. We should learn from her how to be resilient. So, and, you know, that just being a part of the collective, that human consciousness development and evolution of human consciousness, and just feeling that you actually are part of it. You're moving with everyone, and you're trying to make this world better.
Right.
Really drives me. Really makes me feel good and wake up in the morning and say, life's good.
So with the foundation then of CPMP Angels,
right.
And again, I know I can tell your professional successes all day long.
Right.
You'd be the first though to tell me that means very little when it comes to what you can do for humanity, right?
Yes.
That seems to be your drive, your focus.
Yes.
You know, when did this begin? You know, what kind of sparked your vibe and your drive to get that? What made you do this?
Mm-hmm. Well, it started again from the collapse of the Soviet Union when
mm-hmm.
I saw what happens with people, how people change when you just lose basic human needs, when you become hungry, when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel,
mm-hmm.
what happens to human psyche and what kind of behavior it actually triggers in us. And I've seen, and I was approached by human traffickers offering me to go somewhere in foreign lands and make money, you know, as they said, a job, but, you know, we knew what kind of job
mm-hmm.
was that. So I know what it all comes from. So
right.
I think it started over there first. It just, the seed was planted back then. But then when I came here, I became successful. You have your money, and after, you know, several Prada bags and Gucci shoes. Later,
right.
You just sit and say, okay, now what? You know, it's not really
yeah.
satisfying you. Yes, you look good, but there's still something else, like asking you, now what? Now what?
Sure.
What are you going to do
sure.
now? And we started. First, it wasn't CPMP Angels. It was just us. Central Park Medical, we started allocating money, a certain amount of money from the money that we make in our business, and just...
Mm-hmm.
do something. First, we started doing it for the community, and we still do during cold
mm-hmm.
Winter cold days. My girls drive around and, you know, give hot meals to homeless and water and blankets. We do that here around, you know, New York City. We help, we mentor high schoolers here in Bronx. They come to us in our office, and we show them what is all medical profession is about. We also started helping internationally, going abroad, because I realized that the cause of all the problems that we have today, the human trafficking and terrorism and other things, it's a human desperation. And that places where those places where people are so desperate, the poverty is so bad, these
right.
are the places, the sources are usually it all starts, you know, because I witnessed it myself. So we decided, okay, we're going to go to the severely impoverished places and just address basic human needs, six basic
mm-hmm.
human needs. So that started, I would say, 5 years ago. I went with a group of other doctors and practitioners to other places, to Nepal, to India. But then we started working in Haiti. It just happened. And we created our nonprofit, official nonprofit, last year. Before that, it was just unofficial, just going on the you know, adventures and helping.
Sure.
And now we're official. We developed our plan, we developed what are we going to do, our mission, and now we're doing it. And like I said, we're addressing basic human needs, which is
mm-hmm.
food, water, shelter, energy, medical care, education. And by doing that, we want to eliminate severe poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Severe poverty is the first step, eliminating severe poverty and making it I would say, turning it into, transforming it into milder forms.
Right.
And then later on, maybe helping even more. But right now, with the small resources, that's what we can do. And the way we do it, it's not just in the form of traditional charity when we just go and give them money and food. We actually go and establish sustainable, self-perpetuating, self-feeding mechanism into it.
Now, this was what was fascinating to me when we were talking about it before the show. So you don't physically, you know, it's not like you guys are just throwing, you know, money and resources around. I mean, you guys are actually showing people how to grow and, like you just said, self-sustain themselves. I mean, this is incredible. So, you know, tell people a little bit about that, because that to me.
Yeah, well, first of all, we can't
shocking.
Throw money because we don't have that much money. We are a small business.
Right, of course.
We have our bills to pay and, you know, other things to do. So what I'm trying to show here, that with a small amount of money, you actually can succeed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. And what we do, we create businesses in those areas. So, for example, let's just take Haiti. We go to the most remote areas, the most remote places in Haiti. Right now we're working with Village Belongs, which is very, very remote, the most impoverished place. So we bring livestock, we bring chickens, and we create cooperative. For example, we have a group of people, where we bring them chicken, and we say, okay, 500 chickens, you have 9 months, raise those chickens, and they multiply. Whatever is left over from that 500 is yours. You will return 500 to us so we could give it to your neighbor. And that's how we've been multiplying and increasing the number of chickens. And why chickens? Because they multiply fast, and there's always eggs. So by doing that, we're feeding them, and plus they are, by taking care of chickens, by taking care of their own business, they're becoming empowered. You know, they seeing something that they can actually produce themselves. That started 2 years ago. Last year we brought goats, so now we multiply and we're increasing. So this model is actually working. We also did water. These people did not have water. Imagine living without water. They had
no.
to bring it
no,
from somewhere.
The answer to,
buying
you know, I mean,
it.
Crazy.
Buying
yeah.
it. And if you can't afford to buy it, you have to either collect rainwater or drink salty water.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So for the first time, we went and we dug the well and we established a water pump, manual water pump, and now they have water. We are working on a school. We're building a school. We didn't finish it yet, but we started working on it. There is a community center that we're trying to finish. It's an unfinished building, and we're trying to create a shelter for people and animals. And why? Because 2 years ago, when we brought out chickens, the first batch of chickens were swept with Hurricane Matthew, and we didn't know that because we're not experienced. So
right.
then we decided, okay, we have to create a shelter when during hurricanes these people could hide. These people don't even have proper shelters. If you look at the places, the houses that they call house, it's not really a house. And during hurricane, these people literally run and hide under the rock and wait for
right.
days and sometimes weeks until hurricane is over. So that's why we decided to create this shelter, the project called Noah's Ark, where the villagers will just, during the hurricane season, will take the livestock themselves and just hide for a couple of days during those hurricane days and save what they have. Because one of the reasons why they're so poor, because they cannot, it's such a dynamic place, hurricanes always coming and hitting, they keep losing what they're creating. So that's what we're addressing, the food part and water part.
Sure.
Shelters, we're still working on it. We need to meet with a couple of engineers, and we are so open. Whoever's listening, we are open to any kind of specialties, any kind of professions. You don't have to come with us, but you could just dial the number, you could talk to me, and you could give me your input. Anything, we take it, because we need help. We need help in any form. So medical care, we take our medical supplies, we go there, we do basic testing and, you know, basic women's health care. That's what we're providing. We're talking about the prevention. We bring condoms. We bring female-male condoms. We bring information about, you know, birth control and all other things. So, and education, same thing. You know, they didn't have a school, so we had, we're finishing up the school this year.
Mm-hmm.
Elementary school. We also need to talk, we needed to work about, talk about toddlers, because if you look at the village, you know, majority of people, they, the source of income for these people is fishing. That's all they have.
Right.
So
yeah.
Parents are out fishing, and those toddlers, 2 years old, 3 years old, just wandering, roaming around the village, just like, you know, stray dogs. Nobody talks
mm-hmm.
to them. Nobody plays with them. And one of my colleagues, Mary Mahoney, she was with me. She was with me in Nepal, and she went with me to Haiti. We worked together for a long time. So she is someone who loves children. She brings crayons and paper and sits with them and tells them stories, and they play. So that type of education also very, very needed. Unfortunately, people, this is something that you will see only in the countries like this. When you go there, when you talk to them, these children, they need attention just to talk. Someone needs to talk
mm-hmm.
to them. That's all, you know. So that is our education. And basically we're thinking that just by covering that, we will eliminate feel of desperation and hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Because all these places, wherever you go, culture is so rich.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti is absolutely rich in culture, especially in the place where we are. It's not far from Jacmel, which is Mecca for artists. It's a very, very interesting place. And, you know, it's a shame that it's in this desperate condition right now.
Well, what did you say, too? I mean, you and I in the pre-show also, we did discuss that a lot of people and places do get a bad reputation based
mm-hmm.
off of, you know, previous behavior. And it's very
yeah.
tough for the citizens of that particular spot to get out of it. And it's
yeah.
not indicative of everybody, obviously. It just,
yes.
you know, when you're in an impoverished area, you
yes.
tend to behave a little less civilized and whatnot. And you, if you have that
yes.
one bad egg, that's what occurs.
Yes. It's a human survival mechanism.
Right.
We all have a little bit of animalistic nature in us, and that's,
exactly.
that's what just triggers, you know, it triggers that mechanism. And it's so much easier to take advantage on someone who is desperate, and if you're a little bit of above that, then you do that. And majority of times it's those who are very vulnerable, you know, children, women, elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the people who are the target for those individuals. Unfortunately, and my mission is to go and talk to that girl and say, hey, look, this is your chickens. This is your power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to teach you how to be a solar power engineer. And you
right.
you want to be a nurse, or you want to be whoever you want to be. I can teach you that. And you will be here serving your community and making your living and not depending on anybody else. You know, once the person sees the end, light at the end of the tunnel, they will not be lured or brainwashed to something that is dangerous. The only
right.
reason why they do that, because they don't see any other way out.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, and again, it makes sense. It's something that I think most people that, you know, there are obviously people in the world that will frown upon anything that is trying to help the less fortunate. However,
yeah.
you would hope that there's a vast majority that do actually feel sympathy, do actually feel empathy for these people, and
yeah.
understand, look, there's something that we can do. And as far as, you know, how can people, an everyday person that's not so much, you know, right now, that aren't in the place where you are, where they're so active,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what are some ways that people can reach out and help?
Mm-hmm. Well, our organization is, the website is www.cpmpangels.org, and the phone number they can reach 646-391-3414. I always answer the phone, and you know, we could talk, and I could, like I said, we're open to any kind of help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, money, yes, we need money, but we also need advices, so we need tips from professionals, feedback, anything. And also
sure.
other NGOs, our other nonprofit organizations, we're open to them too. You know, we work in collaboration with other NGOs in you know, we're trying to bring solar power to the villagers. We talking to other colleges, and we're working with other people. And I think that's important also. Other NGOs
right.
and nonprofits, we all have to get together and work together in this.
Of course, yeah. And as far as, you know, what's the type of, do you get pushback from anybody? You know, is there anybody that you, you know, how do you respond to those that, you know, would give you some sort of hesitancy as far as helping out?
Well, first of all, I say if you're not in a position of empowerment, if you're not powerful yourself,
mm-hmm.
if you don't feel that you're powerful, then you don't have to help. You have to take care of yourself.
Right.
You know, I always say the last thing world needs, miserable miracle worker. You have to take care of yourself first. You have to be able
of
to
course.
Be content in your life. You have to. And then once you feel that, only then that feeling to help, that desire to help others will come. It's automatic. It's just the way we build. You know? We don't need anyone to bleed out and give the last dollar. We don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about prosperity. You have to, and prosperity mindset. You don't have to be a millionaire, but you have to have that mindset of the prosperous person. You know, being able to see and be grateful for what you have. We really have a lot of things to be grateful today. Look at us. We are so blessed. You know, just having electricity, having running water, having
right.
you know, transport every day. We have food on the table. There's so many things that we should be grateful. And even for us women, we are so free in this country. It's unbelievable. I love it. I love
mm-hmm.
the fact that I could say anything, I could wear anything, I could take any political wing, whatever I want. And, you know, maybe I will be criticized, but I'm not going to be killed like in other places.
Right.
You know,
sure.
These are the things that we really have to acknowledge and be grateful.
Right.
And then from that stand, from that balanced point, self-empowered point, then
mm-hmm.
you should help. It just comes automatically. You don't even have to help. It just, the desire comes itself.
And how often then would you say that, now when you say you have a group, how many
mm-hmm.
people do you have active with you right now?
Well, first of all, my girls. When I say
mm-hmm.
my girls, it's my workers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Every day when they come, first of all, they know that a certain
That's
amount
great.
Of money is being allocated. So they don't just
right.
come to work. They know they have a purpose, and they feel good about it. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
these are my people. They're always with me. They've been with me for the past 10 years, and I love them.
That's
Hardworking.
Fantastic.
I love them. So I'm so blessed to have these girls with me. Second, I have another group of people who traveled with me in the world. It's Lila Berman and Mary Mahoney. We have people from Haiti that are taking us over there and basically keeping us safe, which is, you know, going to the places like, you know, third world is not safe. And it's important
mm-hmm.
to have people that you trust. So Eve is one of the guys that actually takes us there and keeps us safe and, you know, takes care of us. So I do have a group of people. It's, I would say if you count heads, it's maybe around 10 of us max.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you don't need a lot of people. You don't need a lot of money. You just need a lot of love
Absolutely.
And desire. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, we are nearing our last 30 seconds of the show. I do want to make sure that you get out, again, the contact info for you so that we make
yes.
sure that people can check out cpmpangels.org. One more time, though, please share with us, again, quick info, how to reach out to you if everyone wants to help.
Yes, the phone is 646-391-3414. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And
Thank you.
Shanaz, we appreciate your time tonight, and we will be in touch with you soon, hopefully. We'd love to have you back on to make sure that, again, people get the message, get out there, and help.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you again, and thank you again, everyone, for listening tonight to CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, saying see you soon, and have a great night.